Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 99 of Macabre Misfortunes.
99, you'd be fine.
I'd do something special for 100.
Yeah.
Probably not though.
Oh, stop.
It'd probably just be same thing, probably sir.
Well, thanks for being honest.
All right, Tracy, sometimes you go into your workplace and you expect it just to be a regular working day, nothing out of the ordinary, right?
And that's the way it should be.
Well, that's probably what Roy Harris was expecting on September 20th, 1987, when he came to work at Georgia Pacific's pulp and tissue mill in Bellingham, Washington. So Roy gets into work. He starts off his day the way that, you know, he normally does. Then at 5:21 a.m., there's a smoke alarm going off in one of the mill's 10 boilers.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound good.
These boilers preheat the steam to use in the mill. This is how they get most of their energy. The mill is through these smokestacks, so to speak. Okay.
So that's what we see when we see the smokestacks?
In some cases, yes. So these boilers are large, as you could imagine, and they do regular checks on them, but some of them don't have to be checked as often as others because they get used more than others. So they don't use all 10 all the time.
Okay, gotcha.
So the alarm was in boiler number 9.
Of course, the only end of the world.
And that is one of these ones that are rarely inspected as far as, you know, people going into the area. So the boiler was a 10-foot square steel structure with a 4-foot wide lid that was usually left open. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Roy Harris climbs to the top of the boiler and he looks inside. And he was shocked to see a partially skeletized, carbonized human corpse.
Did they not realize they were missing a worker? What happened?
Well, and those words, by the way, actually technically it was extensively carbonized human corpse.
Oh.
But that was the verbiage given from the coroner's office. So the victim had evidently been alive when they entered the boiler and essentially was roasted to death.
Oh my goodness.
That boiler would reach a top temperature of about 380 degrees, so about the same as an oven for cooking most stuff. The body had probably been there from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. So Roy notified plant supervisors as well as the Bellingham police officers of what he had discovered. So, of course, County Medical Examiner Robert Gibb was called on site by the authorities. He said that this was not one of his favorite afternoons.
Oh, I can imagine. Hey.
Yeah, don't.
Pig poke, yummy cook.
What did you say?
I said pig poke, yummy a coke.
Pig poke.
Yeah, you never heard that?
No, I've heard pinch poke.
Oh. Oh, maybe that's what it is.
And I've heard pig in the poke.
Oh.
But I think you tried to combine a couple things there.
Sorry.
So the victim would not have had an easy time actually getting into the boiler, as you can imagine.
I'd be scared to death to get in there.
Well, there'll be something we're going to talk about a little bit later that might open your eyes to some things. So we'll see. So anyway, they said they would have had to climb 3 flights of stairs, so you already would have been out.
No, I'm done at the first one.
Or ride a conveyor belt to the top of the roof plant, and this conveyor belt goes almost straight up.
Ooh.
So they would have had to do that.
I just laid on my stomach and then gone up.
From there, they could have either used a ladder or to reach up to the top, or they could have climbed up using the pipes as handhelds.
Ooh, which one did I choose?
Well, how are we supposed to know?
Oh.
Did you not hear about the body being roasted and dead? They weren't talking much after that.
Oh.
Although the plant had relatively little security, the boiler number 9 was actually largely hidden and was isolated kind of out on its own. So there really wasn't much need for anybody to go out there because they didn't expect anybody to be climbing up or climbing in. All right, so the plant superintendent said that you would have had a better chance of winning the lottery than falling into that boiler.
Dude.
The autopsy was able to determine, now I'm going to use this loosely, the autopsy was able to determine that the corpse was a male between 25 and 35 years old, 130 to 150 pounds, was between 5'8 and 5'9, and had small feet for that size person. It was a size 8.
So how would they know how much he weighed? I mean, how can you determine that when they're...
Well, because the body...
Meat's all gone.
The body... It didn't say it was all gone.
Oh.
It just said it was... Well, when remember the part where I said they said it was extensively carbonized?
Yeah.
That just meant it was almost like charcoal.
Oh.
So they could probably assume... Because they got most of the body there. So they know the height.
They know
the shape of the body. And they could probably just say, okay, this many liquids has been gone out of it. So if you add that back in, this is about what it is. And that's why there's probably a 20 pounds difference.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that, like, he had meat on him. How is that possible?
Okay, think about this.
Like you're like a pig and roasting a pig, like?
Yes, think about if you, because you're not cremating, so you're not turning something to ashes. If it only gets to 400 degrees... It's just going to keep cooking and keep cooking. So like it'd be like if you left something in the oven 3 or 4 hours, it's going to be charred and it's going to be burnt, but it's not going to be ashes.
All gone. Right.
Right.
Okay, I understand that.
So that's kind of what happened. This guy was on a slow cook for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Maybe 4 weeks.
Oh my gosh. Bless his heart.
Well, his needed more than his heart blessed.
Mm.
So the body had numerous fractures. But it was kind of unknown at the time if these fractures had come from a fall or stress fractures from the heat. Mm. Like after cooking for so long, they might have just started snapping. But after
that sounds horrible.
But after doing some more research and stuff, it was determined that it happened from the fall. So the victim wore a shirt, jeans, a denim jacket, and tennis shoes. And there were some indications that the victim used the clothing to shelter him from the heat. So this is what I was kind of giggling about. His shirt wasn't on.
Mm-hmm.
His shirt was tied around his ankle.
What?
Yeah, not really sure why, but it was tied around his ankle. So they think maybe there was an injury from where he fell. Maybe it was bleeding. He tried to use the shirt like a tourniquet or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And the denim jacket was actually laid over top of one of the pipes, almost to keep the heat from
coming out,
which that basically was, it's like, you know, pissing on a forest fire at that point. It's not really going to make a difference. So.
Well, I'm surprised that didn't catch on fire.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised too, maybe. So like I said, he had that stuff done. So they know that he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he had no way of getting out of there.
Oh my gosh.
There were no personal items, such as a wallet or keys or a watch, but there was a charred piece of a Continental airline ticket, the old paper tickets.
Oh, yeah.
So this was proof that whoever this was, it probably wasn't a suicide because they were going to be flying back somewhere.
Right.
This is a return flight. They could make that out, but they could only make out a few of the numbers on there.
Mm.
Some of the rest of them were burnt off, so they weren't able to see who had bought the ticket.
Right.
The victim did not work for the company.
Oh.
There was nobody missing from the company, and everybody had picked up their paychecks. So they knew that it wasn't a worker. The other thing was the guy had tennis shoes on. They said if it had been a worker, he would have had steel-toed shoes on.
So maybe he was running from something and decided, hell, they'll never look in here for me.
I mean, I guess everything's a possibility. So the police did a composite sketch of this guy. Well, they go by, they can do assuming. I mean, you know, they can make certain assumptions. And they had a picture of the guy. He was kind of had really short hair. He had no eyebrows. I'm just kidding. He had short hair, but he had a really big nose. He had like a long.
How are you going to have a big nose and little feet?
I don't know.
This poor soul.
But he did have a big nose. So they put the sketch out and nobody comes forward. The funny thing is they actually did another sketch actually based off his skull a couple years later.
Uh-huh.
So this is, I don't know if they did some kind of computerized stuff, but they did a sketch based off of his skull and it had still had a big nose and everything. It did look a little different, but still nobody came forward mm-hmm. to see who this person was. So kind of crazy.
I'm not laughing at this poor gentleman, by the way, you guys. I think I giggled because a lot of it was ashes or whatever it is. And I was like, how in the hell are you going to make a picture off of that? It's like that guy with the, that thing you put the magnetic on the ball guy.
Oh, yeah. The hair.
Yeah. But this is a horrible way to die.
Yeah, I could see them sketching that out. And then how does this look? It looks like a bratwurst that just came off the grill.
Oh my God. What year was this, did you say?
Well, 87.
Okay.
So, all right, here's the other thing. Whoever it was had extensive dental work done, but they were never able to match it up.
No kidding.
Based on the dental work.
And I still don't know how they do that.
I don't either. If they don't know who you are, how the hell they know who your dentist is?
I don't get that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, I thought all that stuff went into like a national database, like DNA. So when they put this up, it would find matches like they do fingerprints.
Oh.
So I think when a dentist does dental work, I think all that gets uploaded into a national file.
Oh,
but
wow.
I don't know that for a fact.
Oh, well, that means
now. I don't think they get on the phone and start calling every dentist in town. Hey, do you have a customer that had, you know, like a platinum grill? And
yeah.
I don't think they do that.
Well, it's amazing how they do it, though.
So, Tracy, there is a possible twist to this story, and I'll tell you more about that right after this quick sponsor break. All right, Tracy, 2006, almost 20 years later.
God, that sounds crazy.
A potential clue emerged.
No way.
There was a steam engineer at Western Washington University. His name was Richard Stevenson, and he had some possible information on this case. Now, you're going to think this seems kind of funny, being 19 years later.
Right.
But he said, in the late summer of 1987... he had given a tour of the steam plant where he was to a visitor. Now, he remembered this visitor acting very strange and asking to see the boilers and wanting to actually go inside one. Well, they had one that was no longer working.
Mm-hmm.
So Richard said, okay, they take the person inside the boiler room. He said at this point, though, the person began acting like a little child, climbing all over the pipes and such. It was like they were in a jungle gym. So Richard was so disturbed by this that he asked the visitor to leave. As they get outside, Richard points out the boilers at the Georgia Pacific plant. They were visible from the university.
Okay.
And he was like, hey... those over there are perfect examples of working boilers. And he, you know, described a little bit about what made them so good and all that stuff. Richard didn't find out about this body being found in Georgia Pacific's boiler until 2006.
Well, I was wondering how in the world, after all those years, he thought about that.
I mean, it was right there in his neck of the woods. I don't know how he wouldn't have heard of it.
No.
He would have thought that had been all over the news.
Right.
But sometimes I'll tell you a news story or I'll tell other people a news story and they don't watch the news, so they didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the case. But that's why he didn't come forward sooner. He just found out about this in 2006. But here's the twist. The person he gave the tour to was a woman.
See?
The medical examiner says, according to all the pelvic size.
Or shoot, feet size.
Well, he went was going by the pelvic size. He said the pelvic size tells him that 95%, that's a man. And then there were some other characteristics that
did he say something about him having a big nose?
Make him believe that it was a male. No, and I don't really know. I couldn't find any more information on this guy had. He could have, because if this girl had a big nose, mm-hmm. you would think it would almost have to be her. But to this day, the person has never been identified.
You're kidding.
But to me, the size 8 feet.
Right.
This was in the summer when he gave the tour, and September 20th was when the body was found. He said it was late summer. They said it was there 2 to 4 weeks. What are the, if this guy's telling the truth, what are the chances that right there in your neck of the woods, there was a person that absolutely was bonkers over boilers, acted like a little kid. And then within a month later, you find somebody dead that you can't identify in a boiler that you pointed out to him.
So you're saying he might have had something to do with it?
No, I don't think he had anything to do with it. I'm just saying the chances of that being a different person would be astronomical.
Yeah.
If he's telling the truth, that would almost have to be the person that he gave
right. the interview. Right, but I mean, why would he lie? I mean, what's he going to get out of that? I don't know.
People confess to murders and stuff all the time that didn't do it.
Yeah.
People do stuff for attention.
So, daggone.
You know, you could play devil's advocate and say, how did he not know that that happened 20 years ago? It had to be a big story.
Well, I mean, you would think that would come up in conversation somewhere.
So I don't know if he's telling the truth, if he's not telling the truth. I don't know if he had a record of who that person was, because you would think if you got a tour to...
Yeah.
I would think if you gave a tour to somebody, maybe they signed in or something, but maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just somebody that was wandering around campus and asked you a question. I mean, I took a tour of that church and the guy didn't get my information.
Well, that's true. Wow. That is so crazy. She must have been on, like, drugs or something, maybe.
I don't, or maybe she just had a mental condition.
Well, that's true. She could have.
I mean, I know people that are fascinated with different situations, but a boiler system.
No, that I don't get.
Has never been one that I've seen somebody have a fascination with. But I don't know. Maybe she went to engineering school or something. And
I hate that for her.
Yeah. But to me, that seems like it would have to be her, especially with the size 8 shoes. And let's be honest. You know, I understand that a pelvic size could be an indication of men or women, but, you know, not everybody is built the same.
No, not at all.
You know, some people, you know, when she was, if it was a girl, she was 5'9". That's kind of tall.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Lucky.
I don't know. But that's a crazy story.
That is a very crazy story. And I just can't, and it's a shame that they can't, you know, figure out who it was, at least for relatives or something.
Right.
Wow. Hmm.
So do we want to end this one with a joke?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, y'all.
All right. So there's this woman walking around the grocery store, and she's gathering stuff, putting in her cart. Well, she notices there's a guy that's, you know, looks like he's a little bit inebriated, maybe maybe homeless, walking around. So she's kind of trying to avoid him, right?
Yeah.
Well, next thing you know, she's in an aisle, he's in the aisle. So she switches to a different aisle. This happens 2 or 3 times. She's perturbed. She just gives him a snide look. And it's obvious she don't want to have anything to do with the guy. They get to checkout line. And she's waiting to go. She's got a couple people in front of her. And right behind her is the guy.
Right.
She looks at him. Just gives him a snide look. Kind of looks back. And he looks forward. He looks into her cart. She kind of sees him out of her peripheral. And he looks at her and says, "Hey, I bet you're single, aren't you?" Well, she looked down at what she had in her cart.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you can tell.
But in her cart, she had a pack of batteries. But they were like, they wouldn't decel or nothing.
But, that's exactly where I went.
But she had a pack of batteries, and she had a gallon of milk, and she had a box of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And she's thinking to herself, well, that's odd that he would get out a single off that. I mean, what about that tells you single? So she turns around, looks at him, and she says, You know what? I'm kind of surprised that you asked if I was single. And as a matter of fact, I am single. But what made you think that? And he said, because you're ugly.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, guys. We
love you. That's a terrible joke.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys. We love you.